The FBI in Peace and War. The FBI in Peace and War is brought to you by healthful, delicious Wrigley's Spearmint Gum. Enjoy chewing Wrigley's Spearmint every day, as millions do. The lively, long-lasting flavor freshens your mouth and sweetens your breath. The pleasant chewing eases tension, helps you feel better, and get more enjoyment out of what you're doing. Another great story based on Frederick L. Collins' copyrighted book, The FBI in Peace and War. Drama, thrills, action. Tonight's story, The Inside Track.
Well, Ali, how did you make out, my boy?
Oh, I got him, Phil. 25 sheets of paper and 25 envelopes.
Well, good, good. Splendid. Congratulations, Oliver. I knew I could count on you. How about a drink?
I'll take a beer.
Two beers, Tony. Now, let's see the paper, Ollie. Federal Steel Incorporated, Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania. Perfect, Oliver. Just what I want. Now, what do I owe you?
Well, gee, Phil, I don't know. I never swiped anything like this before.
Was it difficult?
No. All I'd do is make out like I was delivering sandwiches to the office. Then as soon as the secretary goes out, I take the stuff.
Well, it did involve a certain amount of risk. What do you say to
$50? Say you're out of your head paying that much for some paper and envelopes. But I could use it, don't I?
Well, there you are, my boy, and I assure you it's worth it. Ah, here's our beer. Thank you, Tony.
Hey, maybe I ought to pay for this, Phil. I feel like I'm stealing from you.
Nonsense. These simple pieces of blank paper will be worth their weight in gold before I get through with them.
Okay, I'm not going to argue. But just tell me one thing, Phil.
Yes?
What do you do with them?
Well, Oliver, it's a long and rather complicated story. But since I've always enjoyed talking about myself, I'll tell you how I do it.
In the course of 65 vigorous and adventurous years, Philip O'Donnell spent a good portion of this time in jail for swindles of various kinds. He was a handsome man endowed with an aura of solid character and respectability. His hunting grounds for the swindles were the commuting trains to and from large cities. His victims were always substantial middle-class suburbanites.
Morning, ma'am. Special delivery letter for Mr. Teller. Sign here, please. Thank you, ma'am.
Oh, thank you.
What was it, dear?
Special delivery for you, Stanley. Who do you know in Pittsburgh?
Pittsburgh? Nobody.
Federal Steel Company. One of your clients, Stanley, can I open it?
No, you cannot. Give it to me.
Maybe they want to buy some advertising. It couldn't be a bill, could it?
No, it couldn't. It's a check for $1.72.
Hmm?
From the office of the vice president of the Federal Steel Company.
$1.72? Whatever for?
He said he'd send me a check, but I never thought he'd do it.
Hee-hoo, Stanley. Now, don't be exasperating and tell me what it's all about.
Well, it really isn't about anything, dear. Happened 4 days ago on the 520. You see, this nice-looking old man sat next to me. And when the conductor came around, the old man had lost his ticket and his wallet. He was going to Greenhaven, where friends were meeting him. So I offered to pay his fare.
Is that all?
That's all. Of course, I didn't realize that he was an executive of Federal Steel.
You'd think he'd have made out a check for $1.75 anyway.
Well, he didn't. But he says that he's going to be in the city on the 19th, and he'd be pleased if we'd have dinner with him and go to the theater in appreciation of my kindness.
The theater? Well, that's fine. Oh, shall I wear the black dinner dress or that mustard you like so much?
You wear anything you want, Hazel. It's not that important.
What do you mean, not that important? Oh, wait till I drop a name like that at the Bridge Club. That will make certain people sit up and take notice.
Philip O'Donnell's swindle might be characterized as the long build-up type. Having entertained his victim at the theater several times and sent numerous small presents to the wife, he eventually allowed himself to be invited to the victim's house for occasional dinners. All the while, of course, he was playing the solid, substantial executive, a man of wealth and character.
So I said, Mr. President, if you need steel for tanks, you're going to get steel for tanks. I'm happy to say we didn't disappoint him.
Imagine that.
Well, I guess you fellows had a pretty big responsibility during the war.
Well, we couldn't let our boys down. We had to give them the best.
Well, I'm sorry I have to run, but...
We've got a board meeting in Pittsburgh in the morning.
We were hoping you might stay the weekend.
Oh, I've already imposed quite heavily on your hospitality.
Oh, nonsense, Hazel.
Yes, yes, I have, and I can't even think of a way to pay you back.
Pay us back?
Well, that's silly. We've enjoyed having you.
Oh, of course we have.
All those dinners you gave us in town.
All right, we won't argue. You're both much too nice to me, and I'm going to think of something.
We wish you wouldn't.
Stanley, tell me, do you invest at all in the stock market?
Little now and then.
Oh, we made $1,200 on Western Aircraft this summer.
No,
well, that was just a fluke.
Stanley, I'm going to tell you something, but I must ask you to keep it in the strictest confidence. Federal Steel will shortly announce a new issue of common stock. It will be offered for $10 a share. Now, I can buy some of that stock for you at 7 before the issue is made public.
You can?
Is that good?
No, it's not good, Hazel. It's only an absolute guarantee of $3 a share profit. Phil, I've never been on the inside of a thing like this before.
Well, there's always a first time, Stanley. There are 4 or 5 of us at Federal who will be allowed to buy this issue at the pre-market price. And it's perfectly legal if I transfer some of my shares to you. Hey, look at the time. I've really got to go along now. Stanley, you don't mind if I give the maid a little something? She's been so pleasant.
No, of course not. I'll bring the car around.
I'll be right with you.
Stanley, what's it all about?
It's not about anything, Hazel. We're just going to make an awful lot of money, that's all.
Don't joke, Stanley.
I'm not. This is the biggest thing that ever happened to us. For once, we've got the inside track. There's no telling where we'll go this time.
Back to the inside track in just a moment. You know, friends, one reason you'll enjoy chewing Wrigley Spearmint Gum is that it helps to keep your mouth feeling so fresh and clean. The lively, full-bodied flavor of Wrigley Spearmint is really cooling and refreshing. Besides, the chewing itself gives you comfort because it helps to keep your mouth and throat pleasingly moist. Helps keep your teeth clean and bright, too. Try it and see for yourself. Chew Wrigley Spearmint Gum while you work, while driving your car, out walking, and in your home. See how this delicious chewing gum helps to keep your mouth feeling fresh, cool, and clean. That's Wrigley's Spearmint Chewing Gum. Get some next time you go to the store. And now, Act Two of tonight's story, The Inside Track.
It's customary in describing the activities of swindlers to name widows and orphans as the principal victims of the racket. Although our files do not show any defrauded orphans, we do know that widows with money to invest are prime targets for the O'Donnell type of racket. Mrs. Julia Whitley of Greenwich, Connecticut, was one of O'Donnell's victims who told us a familiar story.
And then he said I could buy some of these shares before they came on the market.
You didn't consult with anyone, your broker or a friend?
Oh, no, of course not. Mr. O'Donnell made me promise not to tell anyone about the new shares. He said it might depress the market if the news came out too soon.
I see.
I guess I was pretty foolish. I thought I was going to make a lot of money with no risk.
How many of these shares were you going to buy?
1,000 at $7 a share. I was going to make an immediate profit of $3 the day they came on the market.
And you gave O'Donnell a check for $7,000?
Yes, I did.
Was he going to send you the stock?
I believe that was the idea.
And you never heard from him after that?
Never. The only memento I have of Mr. Philip O'Donnell is his original check for $1.81.
You have that check? The one he sent you for the train fare?
Yes. I was going to keep it for sentimental reasons until I found out who Mr. O'Donnell was. Now I'm keeping it as a warning never to listen to distinguished-looking strangers on a train.
May we see that check, Mrs. Whitley?
Yes, I'll get it.
Might be a break, Steve.
Thanks.
Well, he keeps a regular checking account somewhere.
That wouldn't be too smart, would it?
No, but they always make one mistake. Maybe this is it.
And maybe I'll do your study over if there's any money left. Stanley, would you like your study in green? Can't you put that paper down for a minute and listen?
I was just checking the financial page. Not a thing about the new issue of Federal Steel.
Well, he said it was a secret, didn't he?
Yes, he did. I'm just watching for a leak, that's all. You know how things are on the street?
What street? Oh, you mean Wall Street.
Well, I don't mean the corner of Maple Boulevard.
You don't have to get so upset. Ever since Phil mentioned that stock, you've been jumpier than a tadpole.
My dear, tadpoles do not jump. Frogs
do. I don't care what tadpoles do. You have been just horrible.
Well, I'm sorry.
And you're not even interested in redecorating the house.
Oh, yes, dear, I am. It's just that... Well, this is the first time we've really been on the inside of anything, and I'm scared something will go wrong.
What could go wrong?
Well, I don't know what could go wrong. That's what's so horrible.
The check which Philip O'Donnell had given to Mrs. Whitley was drawn on a Pittsburgh bank. Agents of our Pittsburgh office found that O'Donnell kept a regular checking account at the bank and deposited by mail. The address for the account was a cheap hotel in New York. When Agent Reynolds made inquiries at this hotel, the records showed that O'Donnell had stayed there for 2 days the year previous. The trail stopped at that point.
Yes, sir, Ali. The whole trick is to keep moving. Never get in a rut professionally.
Yeah, guess I am in a rut. I did 2 jobs this summer, both on the east side.
Yes, you ought to broaden your outlook, my boy.
Get over to the west side once in a while, huh?
Yeah, even try another city, like Philadelphia or Newark.
Well, I was in Philadelphia once. Food give me heartburn.
I guess you'd better stay in your rut.
Yeah, I guess so. Well, how's your racket, Phil? Any activity?
Oh, yes, I'm active right now.
Well, any way I can help, I'd be glad to.
You need money?
More than my right arm.
That's what I thought. Well, Oliver, I can use you tonight. All you have to do is to make a phone call.
Sam the bookie's going to have to wait, huh?
For friendship, I'll give you $25 for this.
Oh, wait. Who do I call and why?
You call this number out in the suburbs. You tell them that you're the Transatlantic Airlines. You've got my reservations to Paris, and could you please speak to me?
Transatlantic Airlines?
Yes.
You're getting ready to close the deal, huh?
That's right. I tell my sucker I'll be in Paris for 2 weeks so I can have time to cash his check.
You know, I wish I'd started in your end of the business, Phil. No climbing up back stairs, no jimmying open locks, just brain work. That's what I should be doing. I would be, too, if I had any brains.
Well, each man to his own trade, Ollie.
Do you make much out of this?
Oh, 7 to 10,000, if I play it right.
7 to 10,000? Boy, what a racket. All it takes is a lot of lousy brain work. I should have stood in that grammar school, that's for certain.
Back to the inside track in just a moment. Friends, here's a modern, sensible way to satisfy that little hungry feeling you sometimes get between meals, especially when you want to go light. Chew a stick of refreshing, delicious Wrigley Spearmint Gum. You see, Wrigley Spearmint Gum is never rich or filling, yet it does satisfy your taste and give you that little pickup you want. Helps to tide you over till mealtime. It's one reason why Wrigley Spearmint Chewing Gum is the favorite between-meal treat of millions. Always keep a package of Wrigley Spearmint Gum right with you. And when you get that little hungry feeling but want to go light, chew a stick of this good-tasting gum. That's Wrigley's Spearmint Chewing Gum. Healthful, refreshing, delicious. And now, Act 3 of tonight's story, The Inside Track.
Our break in the case against Philip O'Donnell came after a number of months when the Pittsburgh bank notified us that a check for $1.72 made out by O'Donnell had been deposited in a suburban New York bank and cleared to the O'Donnell account. The name of the depositor was Stanley Teller. A quick check of the New York bank gave us Teller's address, and Agent Reynolds and I were soon talking with Mrs. Teller.
And then the phone rang, and they said it was the Transatlantic Airlines, and they had Mr. O'Donnell's ticket for Paris. And then Stanley gave Mr. O'Donnell the check. And then Mr. O'Donnell said goodbye. And then Stanley said goodbye. And then I said goodbye. Oh, wait till Stanley hears this. He'll simply die. He will curl up on the rug and expire.
How much was the check, Mrs. Teller?
$7,000.
And this was last night.
Yes, I suppose he's cashed it by now. Maybe I better call the bank and see
it. It's 7 o'clock, Mrs. Teller.
Oh, dear.
We'll call the bank manager as soon as we leave. If the check hasn't been cashed, we'll have the payment stopped.
Oh, I'm sure it's been cashed. Oh, poor Stanley. He worked so hard for our money. You don't suppose this is deductible, do you? I mean, you could call it a business loss, couldn't you?
Perhaps.
Mrs. Teller, do you have any idea where O'Donnell was living during the time he was visiting you or when you were being entertained by him in the city?
No, he always met us at the theater where we were eating dinner.
I see. Now, may we have that letter you mentioned, the one from the Federal Steel Company?
Yes, I'll get it.
Hazel?
Oh, dear, Stanley's home. In the living room, dear. Poor Stanley, this is going to be awful. I better make him a nice, substantial drink. Would you, gentlemen...
No, thanks.
Stanley, dear, I'm making you a drink. Don't be upset, dear.
Well, what's to be upset about?
Nothing, dear, nothing at all. Stanley, these two gentlemen are agents of the FBI. Oh, Stan, we've been swindled. Our inside track wasn't on the inside at all. Stanley, we've been taken to the cleaners.
And they won't know it for weeks, Sally. Furthermore, they won't do anything as long as they think I'm in Paris, and then it'll be too late.
Boy, what a racket. You don't even have to climb ladders.
Well, this type of work suits a man of my advanced years.
Yeah, I should be so advanced, believe me. When I get to be your age, I'm going to have to go on relief.
Oh, I tried that for several days once. Oh, you wouldn't like it, Oliver. The people you meet are quite depressing.
I'll bet. Hey, Phil, speaking of relief...
You're $25. Don't worry, Oliver. I wasn't going to forget.
I thought maybe you'd forget it was 25.
Oh, you did?
And make out like it was 50, kind of?
Oliver, you're a thief. And I admire your straightforward attitude toward money. Well, here you are, my boy. And keep it away from Sam, the bookie.
Thanks, Phil. I'll try.
Well, I guess I'll have to be going along.
Phil?
Yeah?
Just one thing before you go.
Yes?
Phil, I never in my life saw a check for $7,000. Could I just look at it?
Why, Oliver, what a touching declaration. Of course you can. Here you are. Take a good long look.
Paid to the order of Philip O'Donnell, $7,000.
Handsome, isn't it?
Oh, it's beautiful. Hey, Phil. You spell seven S-E-V-E-N, don't you?
Yes, of course.
That's what I thought. Boy, you got a real sucker on his check.
Well, what do you mean?
Just take a look at this. He's more ignorant than me, even. That's gone some, believe me.
I'm nothing but a stupid, ignorant yokel. I never should have come to New York. I should have stayed in Little Falls.
Oh, don't talk like that, Stanley.
Well, I am stupid, aren't I?
Yes, you are, dear, but that's no reason.
Wait a minute. You know, you weren't so terribly bright during all of this, either.
Well, perhaps not, but at least
As a matter of fact, you were spending our profits redecorating the house.
The house needed decorating. I mean, after
you
all...
You even advised me to buy 2,000 shares instead of one.
Well, who had the inside track to Wall Street, you or me?
Well, I guess it was my fault.
No, it wasn't all your fault, Stanley.
Yes, it was.
No, it wasn't. As I said to Muriel...
As you said to Muriel?
Muriel Potter.
You told Muriel Potter?
Well, after all, Stanley, she is one of my best friends.
You told Muriel Potter that we made fools
of
ourselves?
Well, all I told her was
that... Do you realize it'll be all over the neighborhood by now? All over Madison Avenue? All over every place?
Don't shout at
me. Muriel Potter, of all people, we'll never live it down. We might as well move to Madagascar.
Where's that?
Oh, who cares where it is? Who cares about anything now?
The doorbell is ringing.
Well, let it ring. Maybe they'll go away.
It's ringing again.
It's probably Muriel Potter coming over for the ghoulish details. I better open it or she'll break it down. All right, Muriel, I'm coming. My head is bending low, but I...
Hello, Stanley.
Why, Phil?
No. I'm not in Paris. I missed my plane. Oh, I thought I'd spend one more evening with my dear friends, the Tellers. Well, don't act like you've seen a ghost, Hazel. It's me, Philip.
Phil...
And besides missing my plane, I have a little matter for you to straighten out, Stanley.
What, Phil?
Oh, just a small oversight on that check you gave me. The numeral said 7,000, but you wrote out 17,000. Besides not wanting to cheat you, I'm afraid the bank wouldn't accept it.
You want another check?
Well, there's no hurry, my boy. I thought I'd spend the evening with you charming people.
Well, I'll make out another check right away.
Well, there's no hurry, Stanley.
Oh, yes. Yes, there is. There's a terrible hurry. Hazel, you entertain Phil for a moment.
Stanley,
no,
really,
you
I...
give Phil a drink, Hazel.
I'll make out the check in the library.
Oh, of course, dear.
Don't go away, Phil.
Why should I want to go away?
Now, just don't. That's all. Hello, operator. Get me the police right away, will you? I've got a swindler in the parlor.
Even though witnesses were somewhat reluctant to testify, Philip O'Donnell was found guilty on 3 counts of fraud and sentenced to 5 years in prison. With good behavior, this period will be reduced. But O'Donnell will be almost 70 on his return to freedom. It is hoped he will be too old to steer any victims to the inside track.
Remember, friends, to help keep your mouth feeling fresh and clean, chew Wrigley's Spearmint Gum. There's lots of lively, refreshing flavor in it, and you can chew a stick just about any time and any place. Then, too, while you're sinking your teeth into this good-tasting gum, the natural chewing action is helping to keep your teeth clean and bright. Next time you're at the store, get some packages of Wrigley's Spearmint Chewing Gum. Get plenty for your whole family, because Wrigley's Spearmint Gum is a perfect all-family treat. Healthful, refreshing, delicious. In tonight's story, Paul McGrath played the part of Philip O'Donnell. Bob Reddick was Stanley Teller. This radio dramatization for the FBI in Peace and War was written by Louis Pelletier. These programs are produced and directed by Betty Mandeville. All names and characters used on the program are fictitious. Any similarity to persons living or dead is purely coincidental. This program is based upon Frederick L. Collins' copyrighted book, The FBI in Peace and War. And the broadcast does not imply endorsement, authorization, or approval by the Federal Bureau of Investigation. The makers of Wrigley's Spearmint Gum, the refreshing, delicious treat that gives you real chewing enjoyment, invite you to listen to next Wednesday's story, The Fast Pace, on the FBI in Peace and War. Same time, same station.
This is the CBS Radio Network.